I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I bring you the blessings of your brethren at Providence RP Church in Brookline who send their prayers and well wishes here for you today, as well as myself, in hopes and faith that God will help me bring you the word of truth. Today we're going to look at the new man by way of forgiveness through Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm going to read to you the first 14 verses of this chapter to help us get a better idea of what the context is that Paul was working at here, what God was saying through him. Because the city of Colossae, the reason for this letter from Paul, is that the New Testament church was constantly under attack by a particular false idea, Gnosticism. What this is, and we see it today, is the idea that there is a special knowledge, some secret hidden knowledge, that if you dig it out and participate in that, you can find salvation. You see that every time someone comes up with a new idea, but as it relates to the gospel, if it's new, it's not true. And this was going on throughout the church of the New Testament. One of the things that we see in this city, it seems, from our historical record and this letter to them, their problem was a blend of Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, and Oriental mysticism combined with a flavor of Christianity. And the problem with this form of Gnosticism in general, is that it doesn't cause you to change. It doesn't give birth to the new man. And so if you live in the lie, you are never regenerated in Jesus Christ. And so Paul gives us this chapter and much of this letter to help us know what a Christian looks like indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So hear now the word of our Lord, our God, starting with verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. May our Lord add his blessing to the reading and now the preaching of his word, so that today I might show you that you need to forgive as Christ forgave you. Forgive as Christ forgave you. When it comes to building a new building, when you really want to do a good job, you tear out the old foundation and you start all over again. So as we look at putting on the new man today in the realm of forgiveness, I want to first tear out the old foundation, because we have a lot of misunderstandings about what forgiveness really is. Misunderstandings that aren't based on Scripture. Forgiveness is not cheap. It comes with a price. It isn't a casual thing. When someone sins against you and hurts you, and God says you have to forgive them anyway, you're doing something in that moment. You are humbling yourself. And you're also giving up your right to take revenge on that person, or even to get justice from that person with that offense. Now, this is not to say that there aren't those sins that won't require some form of personal or even civic justice. But what our Lord is constantly addressing with us is the state of our hearts. And in your heart, when someone sins against you and then needs to be forgiven, that means in your spirit, you're canceling their debt. That's tough to do because we want to hold on to that. We want to know that we have that power. We got something on them, so to speak. But in that moment, we give it up. So forgiveness is not casual or cheap. Forgiveness is not a simple, I'm sorry. Suppose you do wrong to someone, and then you go over to them and you say, oh, I'm sorry. And that's it. That's not full forgiveness. What's missing from that? Forgiveness. They haven't yet forgiven you. So, something I've seen in my background of many years of cooking over and over, if someone spills a glass of coffee, of juice or some food on you and says, I'm sorry, and then walks away, what good does that do you? You're still covered with food. Have you had a chance to even tell that person, that's okay, I forgive you? What about when you do someone wrong? Do you say, oh, I'm sorry, and keep going? What about when you're the one who cut someone off in traffic? Sorry, and you just keep going? Do we really get to accomplish forgiveness in that? No, we don't. What about the idea of you need to forgive yourself and get past this pain? Maybe there's something in your past that you've not been able to reconcile, that you've not been able to get over, something that haunts you today. And people may say to you, you need to forgive yourself and keep going. I can assure you, you will not find that concept within the pages of God's Word. If you could forgive yourself, how much need would we have of Jesus Christ? If you have a burden, you have to take it to Christ and be forgiven. And if you're holding on to something you may not even need forgiveness for, you need to find out about that and realize it's something to let go of. So forgive yourself, that's not real forgiveness. Forgiveness is, and here's where we start to build our new man, evidence of a Christian heart. Forgiveness is a complete setting aside of your spiritual, emotional right to justice and revenge. Can you do that in the new man? Yes. Can you do that in the old man? No. And you probably wouldn't even want to. If someone hurts you enough, are you ready to just say to them, I forgive you. It's past. Let's be done with it. That isn't easy. And it requires the power of Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, as the Lord is teaching us about the seriousness of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through 15, and you'll recognize this immediately. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, how serious is this? Now, don't misunderstand this. If you are a believer, you are forgiven. But what we find out as we continue to read and search what the Lord has to say on this matter, a heart that holds on to unforgiveness, a heart that is characterized by unforgiveness, does not reflect Jesus Christ. And how can you expect to be forgiven if you won't forgive another? Mark chapter 11, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's twice now. Do you think he's serious? James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's that serious, beloved. Now, say you're in a situation where someone has hurt you and done you wrong and doesn't come to you and ask you for forgiveness. What do you do then? Can you forgive if the offender doesn't ask you for forgiveness? I'm going to say sort of. Sort of. You can let them off the hook for what they've done to you. You can. Hear this. This was put very well on a website that I like to refer to for my studies, and it's in reference to Luke 23:34, when the Lord asks his Father to forgive those who are just blasphemously coming against him. Quote, the Roman soldiers were gambling for his clothing. The criminals on the crosses to either side of him were reviling him. The religious leaders were mocking him, and the crowd was blaspheming him. Surrounded by this most unworthy lot, Jesus prayed for them, Father, forgive them, in a prayer of unmatched mercy and love. Jesus' prayer, Father, forgive them, was answered in the lives of many people. The Roman centurion at the foot of the cross, upon seeing how Jesus died, exclaimed, surely this man was the Son of God. One of the two thieves crucified with Jesus exercised faith in Christ, who promised him paradise. A member of the Sanhedrin publicly aligned himself with Jesus. And a little over a month later, 3,000 people in Jerusalem were saved in a day. On the cross, Jesus provided forgiveness for all those who would ever believe in him. Jesus paid the penalty for the sins that we commit in our ignorance and even the ones that we commit deliberately. When we were born again, we too became an answer to Jesus' prayer, Father, forgive them. End quote. So you can forgive someone who has not come to you to be forgiven. But do you want to? Or does that little piece stay with you that says, you never asked me to forgive you, so I've got this in my wallet waiting for that day still? I say to you, God is telling you to empty your wallet. Not of money, but of grievance toward one another. Empty it and be lifted from that burden that you alone are carrying. Because that person who has done you wrong may not even be thinking about it, leaving you alone to carry a burden that you shouldn't be carrying. Complete forgiveness. The whole package involves offense, repentance, and reconciliation. Now, being still in battle with the old man as we are, we push sometimes and we get through it and we beat down our pride and we humble ourselves and we say, would you please forgive me? And that person goes, yes, and we're good. But sometimes when that person comes to us after what they did, after that thing we've been stewing on for a little while or has hurt us enough, and they ask you, will you forgive me? Maybe you get a little reluctant in that moment. Maybe you wanted to be mad just a little bit longer to satisfy your flesh. Maybe they didn't give you enough time to feel justified in your anger. Maybe you need another week or so to let them suffer for what they did and wait for you. But God says, no, you don't get to do that with a Christian heart. You say to them, I forgive you. And you put it in the past, and you close the book, and you reconcile. That's the hard part. You reconcile. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What stands between the unbeliever and God? Sin. Unrighteousness. What is God's view toward the one who is in sin, his enemy? God's wrath is upon him. What did Jesus Christ accomplish in his sacrifice, his death on the cross? He took the punishment. He took that wrath for you, for every single person who would believe in Jesus Christ. And so if you are a believer here today and you sin, you are now able to say, Lord, I've sinned. Would you please forgive me? And have complete confidence that he will. Take that example into your human relationships. This is the circle of forgiveness. There's an offense, there's repentance, and then there should be reconciliation to the glory of God. So if your brother sins against you, there's the offense. If he repents and comes to you, whether it be 7 times or 70 times 7, you accept that repentance. And then comes the hard part. You get that relationship back to where it was or to a better place. Because that's the goal of forgiveness. In the end, there should be reconciliation. If you forgive and say, okay, we're forgiven, but I'm not going to be around you anymore, that's not good enough. It is not good enough. That is not full forgiveness. Because the reconciliation hasn't happened. When the Lord says, love as Christ loved you, forgive as Christ forgave you, he should have killed us all. Because the wages of sin is death. His wrath was justly placed upon us, and we deserved it. But he acted to purchase our forgiveness, took that wrath away, and that wasn't it. It wasn't like, okay, you're forgiven, but stay over there. It was, I forgive you. Come close and be mine. That is the goal. And again, There will be times in your life where someone does something that causes you to have to change the parameters of your relationship. But again, what I'm talking about is the state of your heart toward that person. That's the call, and it's a higher call. Picture, if you will, a triangle. This might help a little bit more with understanding the power that's in your forgiveness. Young people, I want to talk to you about this especially. Has somebody ever hurt you and your parents found out about it? I can assure you with complete confidence that if somebody hurt you, your parents were very angry with them. Why? Because they love you. And they don't ever want to see you hurt. Not ever. Now, through your view, it might seem differently sometimes. But that's because you're growing still and coming to understand their love. But if somebody hurts you, not only are you mad at that person, but mom and dad are mad at that person too. So you know what that is? That's two points on our triangle. You are the third point. Now, as a believer, you have a heavenly Father who is perfect. He knows everything. He sees everything. He loves you more than anybody ever could. So when someone sins against you, they not only have a debt to you, but now they have a debt to God too. That's heavy. And how do I know this? Do you remember that the Babylonians took Israel into captivity? Do you know what God said about that? He used Babylon as a tool because of our people's sin. But because Babylon did this thing, because they were available to be used in this way, there's a special price to pay because they messed with God's people. So when you forgive someone for sinning against you, even if they haven't come to you to ask forgiveness, you just lessened the weight of their debt big time. Because now if your heart has forgiven them, your Father can look at that and say, well done, child. And now they only have to deal with him. So their debt has been cut because you had a heart like Jesus Christ. It's just like when we sin against someone. You don't just sin against each other. When you sin against another believer, you sin against God too. You remember what David said when confronted by Nathan and in his repentance, he said, God, against you only have I sinned. Now, he knew he had sinned against people, but he was intimately aware of his great sin against God. So when you forgive somebody who hasn't come to you for forgiveness, you lighten their load and you can start pointing them in the direction they need to go to gain full forgiveness. And the reason that you have the power to do this is because of what God has done for you. Now, I have little doubt that under the sound of my voice are people who have been sinned against heinously. Perhaps there's something in your past that has scarred you to your very soul. I don't take that lightly. I know what that's like. And maybe right now you're thinking, how can I forgive that ever? I'm going to tell you how. Think about what it cost God to pave the way for your forgiveness. Jesus Christ, his son, had to be sacrificed. So Christ, very God himself, took on a body of flesh, this weak, failing stuff. And suddenly he was vulnerable to heat, hunger, tiredness, all the infirmities that we suffer. And he came into this world to his people, and all his people, nearly all of them, rejected him. Only a small portion recognized him for who he was. And so his people mocked him, spat on him, tried to stone him. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate couldn't find anything to charge him with, they said, release the sinner anyway. We'd rather have him. And they arrested him, and they made a crown of thorns that they shoved on his head that pierced his skin. Knowing what he was going to go through on your behalf, his spirit was so troubled that he sweat drops of blood for you. He watched during his arrest as those he loved completely forgot about what he had taught them for so long with tears. He was beaten until he was unrecognizable, like a piece of meat. He was humiliated. He was nailed to a cross. He became a spectacle for fools. And he died there. That is what he did for those who were yet his enemies. In other words, us. It is the power of the living Jesus Christ that will enable you to forgive what has been done to you and to know the healing power in your salvation, in your new man. If you have not bowed the knee yet to Jesus Christ, now know that forgiveness is available to you for your sin. Hear this quote from Pastor Octavius Winslow. So completely was Jesus bent upon saving sinners by the sacrifice of himself, he created the tree upon which he was to die and nurtured from infancy the men who nail him to the accursed wood. There is where you find the power to forgive. In closing, I would just like to read to you a parable. The unforgiving servant, starting in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And when he had begun to settle, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. $10,000. A talent was the largest sum of money at the time. 10,000 talents is widely believed to be a euphemism for an amount of money that could never be paid off. We could never pay off our own sin debt. 100 denarii was believed to be about 3 months' pay. And for that, the one who had been forgiven an infinite amount refused to forgive. That, beloved, is where your Christian heart either shows or doesn't. And so, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that for each heart here and for my own, you would never let a seed of bitterness take root in our hearts to grow and produce fruit of sin whose wages are death. May your word find its home in every heart you have prepared and produce fruit of righteousness in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.